Amen. Good evening. It's great to be here. Every so often in my house, we eat food together every day. But every so often, we just kind of take a moment to kind of go, what's been the best bit? And at the beginning of September, we always do a what's been the best bit of August. And we all go around and we just keep going until we kind of run out of things to say. So why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, what's the best bit of this week or the best bit of August? What's been going on? Just share the person next to you. If it's not someone you know, just say hello to them, find out their name, and find out what's been their best bit. Fantastic. I'm going to bring you back again. Continue those of refreshments afterwards. My highlight of this week has been I drove... Come on, bring it back in. You can continue afterwards. My highlight of this week was I drove up to Newcastle to get a new car. I don't know why I went to Newcastle, but anyway. And I went with my middle son, Daniel, and he is just so funny. But when he's trapped in a car, he just keeps on coming up with these crazy things. He came up with a phrase, a sentence, a word, a silly sound or something for, I think, nearly every make of car. So whenever he saw a make of car, he just came out with this kind of noise or phrase or thing. And it was just so much fun driving along with him, particularly driving back from Newcastle, which we set up at 9 o'clock in the morning and got back to Bristol at 8 o'clock in the evening, which was a bit of a killer, but never mind. It was the hour from getting to the M32 to Southville that I think nearly killed me because of Bristol rugby. So there we go. Brilliant. Fantastic. So as Paul said, we are coming to the end of a series on Joseph over these last 6 weeks. We've been looking at his story, which you can find in Genesis 37 right through to Genesis 50. And I encourage you to go away and to continue just reading it and listening to what God has to say to you about his life and all that God did him. But we particularly over these 6 weeks have been looking using the lens of the teaching that we've looked at over this last year, the year of growth, and look at some of the particular topics that we've been looking at and thinking about how have we seen that in Joseph's life. We did this morning and we used a jigsaw puzzle, which is what you can see on the blackboards on either side. There was a race to build the quickest jigsaw puzzle with 6 pictures, each telling a bit of the story that we've been looking at with Joseph. So if I glance over either way, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the jigsaw puzzle to remind me of the story as we go through. But we started with Joseph in a family and we were thinking about how we create environments that cause us to thrive and to flourish. And we looked at Joseph as an individual and realized that he had everything he needed. He was protected, looked after. His father doted over him and just thought he was the best and most amazing. Yet the environment around him, the family and brothers, and the way that his father treated him meant that that environment stopped him being all that he could be and all that God had called him to do. And so we remembered that that God has called to give us life in abundance, but it's within the community that we're part of, and a healthy community that allows each and every one of us to grow. The second week, we were reminded that Joseph had dreams, that God had given him dreams about who he was and who he was called to be. They were really significant dreams, dreams that would come true ultimately. We're going to look at that a bit more today. But it's how we look after those dreams, how we work with those dreams. But we are called, each of us is called by God for a purpose. Things turn a bit worse for Joseph. And he ends up, his brothers get so frustrated with him. In fact, his dad gets frustrated with him as well because he constantly talks about these dreams and how amazing he is and how great he is and how much he's going to do. They all get fed up. And so they try and work out what to do. And they end up initially coming up with a plan to kill him and then sell him into slavery. And we looked at that. The next week, we looked at his time in prison. Joseph was sold into slavery, went to work for Potiphar, but in Potiphar's house, things turned to the worst again. He was accused of stuff that wasn't what he was doing, and he ended up in prison. But in prison, God still spoke. God was still using him. But in that place, God was working on him as well. And we looked at the fact that God was working on his inside, the fruitfulness of the inner core, our character and who we are. God was at work in that place so that Joseph could be used. And we just see in that story, and if you go along and read the story of Joseph in prison, you see a transition from Joseph as someone who's arrogant, who can do it all, to when he first has the dreams and he sees the butler and the baker have dreams. And he says, yeah, I can interpret those dreams. To then Pharaoh at the end, having a dream about eating cows and famine coming. And his declaration, I can't do this, but God can. His heart had changed in that place where God was at work. So he interpreted those dreams for Pharaoh as well. He ended up being appointed by Pharaoh to be his prime minister, his man in charge. But we jumped last week to the end of the story when his brothers return. His brothers, he was in charge of distributing food. There was famine in the land and he was there distributing food and organizing, and his brothers had to come. And we thought about how we deal with those situations where there's forgiveness and where we need to receive forgiveness and give forgiveness. So finally, we come to this week. And Joseph, seeing fulfillment in those dreams that he first had. He was the prime minister, the number two. He'd managed successfully to prepare the land for 7 years so that in the final 7 years of famine, all would be looked after and all provided for. He bore fruit. And that's what we want to look at today. That there is fruitfulness for each and every one of us. But what I don't want to do as we think about this is think, well, Joseph got to the end of his life. He'd done everything and he was fruitful at the end. If we look at his story, we see his fruitfulness the whole way through. In every situation he was in. Whether it was internal, whether it was external. Whether people saw it or just God saw it. He was fruitful in each of those situations. So we don't have to be sorted. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to get everything right for God to use us and to be fruitful. And so the story of Joseph, a man appointed by God for a purpose in that place. And it says in John's Gospel, when Jesus talks about being fruitful, he talks about a vine, that it's fruitful and there's seasons of pruning and there's seasons of fruitfulness. He goes on to say, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. The message says, I think there's a screen, if there's someone there that can click it on for me. It says, you did not choose me. Remember, I chose you to bear fruit in this world. He's chosen you. It says in the NIV, appointed. But he's chosen you for a purpose and a plan. And whether you've had a big dream about what it is, or whether you just know that God's got something for you, he's called you and appointed you. And so Joseph's dream was worked out, and his call and appointing was worked out in the context of God raising up a people to fulfill the story of God's working out salvation through his people for all people. But Jesus has done that. Jesus has completed it all on the cross. He's done it all. So we're freed from all the things that hold us back, but we're freed for a purpose, each and every one of us. And so what I want to do is to look at two particular strands, perhaps like banks to a river, that give each of us direction to travel as we think about how God has called us. And as we get to the end of this, I want to pray for all of us, because this is for all of us. We're all part of this call that Jesus gives to each and every one of us in the places that he's put you. So there's two bits of scripture that I want to look at. And if you've got your Bibles, you might want to grab them to have a quick look at them as well. And these are, as I say, two banks to the river that just give us direction. Each one of us has something specific, something that's worked out in who God's made you to be in the way that he's made you to be. But for all of us, it fits into these two contexts. Fruitfulness comes, as it says in Mark 12. There we go, Mark 12. I think the first bank is about a command that was given. A command that says, you are the, one of the teachers of the law came. This is Mark 12, verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Love. A commandment from God. The greatest commandment gives us one bank to the river, that we do it in the context of love. A commandment, come and, as a response to what Jesus has done. It's not us earning his love. It's a come and because of what he has done for us. Remember, he chose us. He loved us. And so love is our response, firstly to God. In the everyday, in the day-to-day, not just when we come to church on a Sunday, but every day. We look to him and we say, he is one, he is first, he is Lord. And to our neighbours, in the context of love, to those people that we work with. You know those really annoying people that we work with sometimes that are just so frustrating? We've got to love them. All the staff team are looking around at each other going, which one's that one? No more said. We've got to love. It's a commandment to come and with him. So the first is to love God with everything that we have, in worship through everything that we do. And the second is this, from Matthew's gospel, right at the very end. And this should be on the screen as well. There we go, right behind me. Brilliant. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Some doubted. They weren't sorted. They hadn't got it all figured out and all kind of nicely formulaically worked out. Some of them doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, to Jesus, through the cross. His work, he's done it. As he said, it is finished. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. The commission, the great commission, the great command is one, and the great commission is the other bank. That we're called, each and every one of us, to bear fruit as we make disciples. Make followers of Jesus. Help people to work out who he is and what he does. It says that we're meant to baptize them. So that suggests that for those, some of those people, they're not yet Christians. But they're working out who God is. And we're helping them to understand who Jesus is so that they can see God. It's a commission, a co-mission. Come on mission with God. It's who he is and what he's doing. He's making disciples, followers of him. Who has God given you in the place that you already are to point people to Jesus? Because he wants you to bear fruit in that. It's his plan, it's his mission. So he's going to do it. Doesn't have to be hundreds, doesn't have to be thousands. It's just the one. Who's the one person that God has given you in the place that you are? And how do we do that? In the context of love. And people see that love through the community that we're part of, which I think is why the writers of the New Testament are so keen on making sure that each of those new communities got their stuff sorted out, that they demonstrated their love for each other so that others could see that love as they went out and did the thing that God had called them to do. So a command and a commission, the two banks of a river that God has called each and every one of us to navigate. And that will look different in the different places in who he's called you to be. For some of us, it's the beginning of a journey of working life. For some of us, we've retired and it's a new season, a new thing. For others of us, we've been in our workplaces for a long time. For others, we're about to start a new role, a new season. But God is calling each of us to love each him first and our neighbors, but to make disciples, to make followers of him. Sharing the things that he's given to us. Sharing our understanding. Sharing the way we do things. When people see our fruitfulness in our work, we can say, well, that's Jesus. Giving me wisdom, giving me understanding. Let me introduce you to him. Let me tell you about him. That's the mission of God. And so I would love to pray for us. And the way that I'd love to pray for us, I'd love to pray for us in the context that God has put us already. And so the way that we're going to do this is the way that we're going to do it is we're just going to get people to shout out. So have a think. What is your primary context? What's the primary place that God has put you in? Outside of these four walls. It might be what you're going to do tomorrow morning or some point this week. So just have a think. And then as we pray, first we're going to just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come, and then we're going to pray for each other. But I'm just going to ask you, where is it that you're meant to be? Someone shout out where they're going to be. What's their primary place? College. Okay, so if you're in education, can you stand up? If you're in education, full-time, part-time, you're in college, fantastic. Going off to university, anything like that, education, okay, teaching. Let's push that out to teachers. So if you're a teacher, if you're going back to school this week, or some people have already gone back to school, look at that. What type of holiday is that? No more said about teaching and holidays. I used to be one. Teaching, brilliant. Anything else? Public services, health. Stand up, health, education. What else have we got in there? Anyone else who's got anything? Where are you going to be? In an office. Fantastic. In an office. If you're going to be in an office, working in business, fantastic. Office work. Anything else? Anyone who's going to be in the home for whatever reason, whether it's retirement, whether it's because you're looking after children, whether it's because that's your primary place of work, so you're in the home. Anything else? There's still people that stood up yet, so what else we got? What are you going to be? Coffee shop. Hospitality. There we go. Hospitality. If you're in hospitality, stand up. If you work in church, those people haven't stood up yet. If you work for this church, can you stand up? Fantastic. Great. So hopefully that's everybody. That's the context that God has put you in. So we're just going to give that to God. And we're going to say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and give us what we need. Help us to follow that commandment, to love you. Help us to see who it is, the people that you've given us to come alongside. And so when we invite the Holy Spirit to come, I just encourage you just to put your hand out. It's like a gift. You don't have to. It's nothing special, but it just helps us. And it's good to close your eyes as well, because then it just helps you to focus. But let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill each person here. For those that need reminding that you have called them, that you have chosen them, Holy Spirit, come and do that.